Has anyone ever told you you're kind of a lot?
What are you doing?
Can you not?
Take a minute, okay?
Just chill.
Relax.
Calm down.
You're so loud.
It's a bitch.
It's kind of harsh.
It's too weird.
Too mossy.
Too wild.
Too girly.
Too much.
Too much.
Too much.
Welcome back to Too Much, a podcast for unapologetic women. Today we're going to cover the end of 2020. Mm. Ooh, it has been a rough one.
I don't know what you're talking about. It's been super easy for me. It's been just a walk in the park. Great year all around.
Liar.
Joking.
Liar. But we want to end on not a false positive. We're not looking to make this like, just be happy. But sort of a perspective shift or a paradigm shift or a way to look back at this and take an opportunity to shape our own perspective on it. So we'd like to talk about the end of 2020. Here we are. Wow, what a year. We had the pandemic. We've had a very strong Black Lives Matter movement, which I would say is a lot of positive. And then some people also interpret that with like negative backlash as well.
Wildfires here in Oregon and California.
Yeah, wildfires, market crash. I can't remember if it's killer hornets
or killer bees. Those were just like a blip.
Those lasted
like a week and we didn't even hear about them again.
Oh, I heard about them again. They like took down a nest someplace in Washington State.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh.
Yeah,
they did.
I just zoned out. Oh my gosh.
Hey, I mean, oh my God, they're a blip on the rest
of the world. I can only handle so many headlines.
The emotional back and forth of the presidential election, and no matter where you are on the spectrum, it was an emotional back and forth. Goodness, what am I missing here?
We don't need any more. Even just that. Any one of those things would have made the year
so
stressful.
Much.
And we all, you know. Well, yeah. You said the pandemic, right? That little thing.
Yeah, the pandemic. And then all the people that have lost the, like, so it's like all of the, there's the big, like, economic aspect.
Social isolation
and depression that comes in. Yeah. The confrontation that's created with people that we might not always have confrontation with, because do you wear a mask? Do you not wear a mask? Is it real? Is it not
real? It's real, wear a mask.
people have died too. We've lost people, and people have gotten really sick who've made it, but have had. I know people who have gotten really sick from the coronavirus, and their lungs still felt like crap.
Yeah,
even though they've technically
recovered. Still don't know what the long term effects are going to be. Yeah,
we don't know what the long term effects. The school's been shut down from the pandemic. There's just people have. And we're headed, you know, we're headed for more. People haven't technically lost houses because of the pandemic market crash yet, and those consequences, but that will come when the foreclosure piece goes away. So it's been a rough year. There's been a lot. And so we could look at this and we can go one of two ways, right? We could say, and I think we should say, dude, it's been a rough year. Yeah. I feel like we just need to take a second to acknowledge that there has been real loss, and we've all been impacted in some way. There are things lost here.
And I want to speak up and say, I know a lot of listeners are sitting there thinking right now, if you tell me to look at the bright side of this year, I'm going to just turn this podcast off right now. That's not what we're going to do. That is not what we're going to do. So keep listening.
Correct. That is not what we're going to do. So the loss is real. There's no denying that. There's no getting around that. There's no sugarcoating it. It's not helpful to sugarcoat shit. Like shit. If you shine it up, it doesn't make it taste any better.
Wow, that's vivid, Heather. Thank you.
Oh, God. It's true, though. It's true.
And
it's been a shitty year. There's been shitty stuff.
Yeah. And what ends up happening at the end of a lot of years, a lot of podcasts, a lot of blogs, a lot of books, a lot of articles are going to be like, what did you accomplish this year? We've all seen those things every year, right? And they kind of are the worst.
Yep. Here's how I'm awesome. I bought a boat and sailed across the world and wrote 10 books and had 5 babies.
How did you do that in 1 year?
Have 5 babies in 1 year.
Yeah. Which,
I think you're
if
a liar.
You accomplish those things, great. We are not saying don't celebrate yourself, but let's be honest. Who has done that this year? Has any, like, I haven't, no, this is
the extreme minority.
Yeah.
So what we want to take a moment to do is to say the loss is real, the grief is real. It's also probably not over. Pandemic's still there, right? Mm-hmm. Cases are still on the rise. But the truth is, this too shall pass. And that's not a dismissal. That's not a don't care. That's not a just be happy, la la la, look at the butterflies. That is a just a reminder that there are seasons in life and we are collectively experiencing a season in life together, right? We as a collective.
A dramatic season.
Not only as, yes, not only as a community, like locally and throughout our country, but worldwide, we're experiencing this very traumatic season of life. And what's helpful is to remember that it too is a season, even if it's an ugly one, if there's some really ugly aspects about it. And that consequently, we need to take 2020 on its own terms and not just compare it to the years before. We shouldn't say, oh, I had this fitness goal to lose 20 pounds and I think I gained 5 and therefore I'm a horrible person, right? Like, don't compare it to the years before, whether it's economic, the goals you didn't reach, the college you didn't go to. Goodness, I'm thinking of all the kids of like the graduation mm-hmm. path they didn't get to walk when they graduated high school or college or, right? Like, the loss is real. We need to not compare it to all these other years, but just take 2020 on its own terms. And we want to celebrate what we have done or accomplished in 2020 and focus on those small steps and wins. Mm-hmm. Again, not to dismiss, but to take 2020 as its own and help kind of do a little bit of a paradigm shift just in terms of both holding the grief and the wins hand in hand, if that makes sense. Yeah.
So something that this year has kind of reminded me of is a couple years ago, as I've mentioned already on this podcast, my husband experienced a manic episode and was diagnosed with bipolar 1. That was a really, really hard year because obviously we didn't know that is what he was experiencing. It was a very new, and if for anyone who is familiar at all with mania, it is very frightening. He is an amazing man. He has worked really hard for health, and you know, I never felt physically unsafe. So when I say scary, I don't mean that he was scary. I mean that I was scared for him. Because he had to go to the hospital. He was in a psychiatric hospital for 11 days. And the leading up to it, the months leading up to it, and the months after were also quite difficult and traumatic. And when that year ended, when we got to December of that year, when he was very much improved, we had got, you know, things were on the upswing. We had a lot of support from family. He was safe. He was well. December came around and I started seeing all the posts that always happen of which, and again, I think it's great people celebrating their accomplishments every year. Do it. You have every right to celebrate. But when I saw them that year, I thought to myself, what did I accomplish this year? Like what would I, when people are posting this year, this is what I did. I did these things and I'm going into next year because I'm really excited with these new goals. And I thought to myself, what would I even write if I posted something about what I accomplished? And the only thing that came to my mind was my husband is alive. He survived this episode, and in large part because of my support. I don't want to belittle any, like, we had a lot of support from other people. He worked very hard, so it wasn't just me, obviously, but I was a strong support to him. We made it through the episode together, and I was really, really proud of us. I was proud of me. I was proud of him. I was proud of our family for where we were. But, like,
right.
You know, to all the other people out there who are saying, like, I published a book. I, you know, ran a marathon. I, you know, bought a house. Like, all of these other kind of typical accomplishments, it's hard to then say, I survived. My husband survived. Yay. Like,
that feels like it's like, it climactic. Feels,
you know, and for me, it felt like a huge yeah. accomplishment, but I could, but you know, when you write it out, it seems mm-hmm. like, wow, you know, should I even celebrate this? It seems like such a low bar. And you know what? At the time, I was glad I gave myself permission to celebrate that. Like, maybe I didn't post it. I posted mm-hmm. it a year later, but at the time I wasn't ready to share. Thomas wasn't ready to share. So I didn't post anything, but like, we celebrated together. We had, you know, and giving ourselves right. permission to be like, yes, like, we did this, you know, it was hard and we did it. And, right. you know, that is what I'm thinking of this year, because that year it was just like, at least in from my world, you know, it was like, no, it's not like everyone was going through an episode together, right? But in 2020, you know, all of us are experiencing it differently, right? We all have different support systems. We all have different resources. So it's not saying that we're all experiencing the same thing, but we are all experiencing trauma. We are all experiencing 2020 is a bitch of a year, man. Like, excuse me for, I don't normally condone the use of that word, but I feel like it warrants it. You know, like, it's just been really hard. And so I when we talked about what we wanted to do for this episode, I just really wanted to say something to everyone listening, like, whatever small or big thing you have accomplished this year, just give yourself permission to celebrate it. Don't compare, like Heather says, right. don't compare it to seasons past. There's no, like, if you know, if you've accomplished something bigger, quote unquote bigger, however you want to define that, in an earlier year and you didn't do right. it this year, who cares? That you can't compare 2020 to any other year, really. You can't. And
right.
And also can't compare to other people, because we all do have different resources and support systems when mm-hmm. facing this trauma.
Yes.
What you can do is, like I said, I'm going to repeat it, give yourself permission to celebrate. Like, if you, whatever small accomplishment you did, let yourself celebrate it as big as it feels to you, because even if it looks small on paper, if it feels big to you, that is great. Or even if you're kind of one of those, I feel like a lot of people who maybe grow up high achievers, or especially women who are kind of taught to be perfectionists, things that could be big aren't perceived as big by us, because we put these really, really high standards on ourselves. Like, well, if I didn't accomplish right. this, oh, I don't really yes. feel proud of this thing I did. Well, you should. And I just want to encourage you all to try and take pride in what you did do this year, even if there's a voice in your head telling you, no, it wasn't worth it, it wasn't good, you didn't do a good job. Like, shut that voice off. That's what we want to talk about today.
Shutting the voice
yes.
down.
Bam. Punch it in the face.
That's right. And give strength and voice volume to the voice that celebrates what you did mm-hmm. do. Again, it's not about size or reaching the goal or reaching the destination. It's about just even the basic steps. Even if that's like, I decompressed and I'm here, but I'm
yeah.
here. Right? Like, that's enough. Like, grief itself and processing grief and trauma is a ton of work,
it
y'all.
Is.
Like, it is so exhausting. Yeah. It is emotionally taxing. It absorbs calories. It absorbs brain space and time.
And whether you realize it or not, you have been doing that this year. We all have.
Right. Yes. Yes. Absolutely. So, that in and of itself is honestly something to celebrate, that we can celebrate as a group. Like, we have been processing. And I think, honestly, even just acknowledging that, like, when you're having a down day or you feel, I don't know, whatever it is, the dialogue that you tell yourself, like, just acknowledge that, like, loss is real. You've been processing, and that in and of itself is good work. We don't really give a lot of value to that. And I think in our U.S. culture, we don't value, we just kind of want to get it over with, like, move on, get past it, whatever. And we don't really value the, like, slow down and process the grief. We don't give ourselves a lot of permission for that. Or we'll say it, you know, oh, yeah, I know you need to process. But then a couple days later, we're like, why aren't you done yet?
You should have done it already.
Like, wait, what?
Like, don't feel better?
Yeah, like, why? What do you mean? What do you mean, why aren't I done yet? Like, for real? So we are going to take a moment to celebrate together a few things that we've accomplished, like our small wins for this year. And then we would love for you to message us on our Twitter. Let us know what you celebrated. I would take a moment, honestly, friends, like, write it down, draw it out, say it out loud, whatever works beautiful. For you to, like, kind of cement that, you know what I mean? Like, make it tangible in some way. And review it, because it's not enough to just do it once. Like, you kind of have to review it, especially when you're going through grief. It's not enough to do it once and you're processing trauma. Like, you need to do it a few times. And again, this isn't about just magically making yourself happy. This isn't a happy pill. This is
a process.
It's joy and it's joy in process, right? That's what joy looks like. It's work. It's hard work, but it's really healing work. And honestly, this will help heal part of the trauma too, when you can do some of this healing work. So we're going to do a little healing work together by celebrating some small wins. Can I insert? We're going to share two, but can I insert a third happy thing? Okay, so this one's going to be an off the cuff, and it's been inspired by my son sliding a piece of paper under my door that says, "Mom, 2 eggs," which he does every time that he goes out to our chicken coop and collects eggs.
Aww.
And he knows he's not supposed to disturb me while Mommy's working, as he writes it out on a piece of paper and slides it underneath, and it just makes me
smile. He's like reporting the number of eggs.
He is.
Oh my gosh, it's so precious.
Collected for the day. Oh. So it just, it's a really small, like, joy that happens for me most days.
That's wonderful.
Like, we call them our COVID chickens, because we got them in the middle of the pandemic.
Some people got COVID puppies. You guys got COVID chickens. I love it.
We got COVID chickens. And yeah, that's been a small win. I've wanted chickens for a really long time. This is the first place where it's really been feasible for us. And we love it. And it's been a really small, not just small, but, like, really good joy. It's a small thing, you know, taking on a pet, I suppose, like, especially chickens. They're pretty chill. But they bring a lot. They've brought a lot of joy to us. So that's something we did this year. Just a really low-key. We got chickens. Nice. And I built a chicken pen. Like a badass.
You built
one.
It?
That's like 16. Yes.
I don't think I realized that.
Myself. Pretty much by myself.
You built it?
Like 2x4s. It's 16 feet long.
Oh my gosh.
And 6.5 feet high. And it has a full door that you can walk in.
You are such a badass. What?
Thank you.
That's amazing.
It was pretty badass. And I've never built anything like that, y'all. Like, in this process, I actually bought my first, I don't even know what it's called. Hand drill, power drill.
Yeah, sure.
Drill?
Ask me.
I've never owned one. Every time I've put up a shelf in my life, or my home, or put together furniture, I'm using a handheld, like, Phillips screwdriver.
Nice.
It was our first power drill. Way overdue. I was like, dear Lord, where have I been? This has been around a while. Why have I not known? Chicken coop, chickens. Even my son, honestly, writing. The fact that he can write out. Mom,
that's amazing. Yay. I love that so much.
Yeah. There's one of mine.
Okay, so one thing that I'm really proud of this year is I started back up on anxiety medication. And that's a little hard for me to say because there is such a narrative in the world and definitely in my head that I have to fight against that's like, oh, if you are on meds, like, you're failing or you're weak or you, like, can't do it yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, what's wrong with you, you know? And none of that is true. And I had to really, like, speak against that in my own mind and heart to get started again. And it makes a really big difference in my emotional well-being and my mental health. And I'm really proud of myself for getting started again.
Good job.
Yeah. And thanks. I know, you know, meds, everyone's mental health is a different journey. And so meds aren't for everyone. But if, you know, if you're really experiencing like anxiety or depression or some other mental health journey and you've wondered like, oh, maybe I should consider meds, but no, I can't because like I'm going to fail. I just want to encourage you that there's like a million different kinds out there and it is possible to find one that actually works for you. And I would encourage you to talk to your doctor about it. I feel like we need to normalize it a lot more. Like if you can find a medication right. that makes you feel better and doesn't make you feel bad, like some meds do not work, right? Like I'm not going to say that every med is perfect, but if you can find one that actually makes right. you feel better without giving you nasty side effects, like why not? Why do we put this, you know, narrative that like, oh, I can't do it. Why not? There's no, if there's no negative consequences and only positive ones, do it. and that's been right. my experience because I found a medication that really works for me. So yay, I'm proud of myself for doing that.
Good for you. Thanks. And having the courage to do that, just like you said too, like not making it a positive, like you took a step forward to take care of your mm-hmm. health, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
That's important.
Definitely.
That's important. Another one for me to celebrate is, I started exercising again.
Nice.
It is inconsistent, but I go sometimes once, sometimes twice a week, not really the last 2 weeks because everything's been shut down, but I go to this little gym owned by two women. They run it out of their garage. It's called Push Fitness and it's all focused on like basically women who have given birth at some point. They really focus on re-strengthening your core and all those pieces.
And they do social distance. I know you told me they do social distance for anyone who might be worried about that listening.
Yes, they do. Yeah, we wear masks. And as long as it's warm enough, we usually have the garage door open. Nice. So we'll say, like, if you need an air snack, you go out by yourself on the driveway and take your mask off for a moment to breathe and take a drink of water and then you put your mask back on. And
come nice.
Back so that's been really positive from a community perspective. Cause there's the person who's training me, but there's usually like maybe one or two other people there. So it's a small group setting, but I haven't done anything fitness wise, you know, if I'm honest, since I got pregnant. Pregnancy has never really agreed with me. I love having babies, but pregnancy is not something I enjoy at all physically. And my youngest child is going to be 2 here in a few weeks, so it's been like 2.5 years. And then I lost my dad passed just 2 days before I gave birth to my last child, so there was so much trauma and emotional processing there that even when I was like, and then my birth to my child was very, very difficult. It did a lot of damage and trauma to my body physically. So I really needed to be doing physical therapy and exercising to heal. But there was so much emotional work that every time I would try to do even the simplest stretch, like I would just start crying over the loss of my father and just didn't have the emotional space to care for my body at all. So the fact that I've like processed enough emotionally in regards to the loss of my father to even begin putting any energy towards my own body is a really big deal mm-hmm. for me. So the fact that that journey has started has made a really big difference. So I've got a long road ahead of me in terms of healing my body, but I've started. And
that's so awesome.
Started.
And I want to jump in with a little disclaimer here of like, well, not a disclaimer, a little call out here, Heather, which is that I noticed that you did something that we all do, but I want to call it out, which is you kind of did this like, well, I still have a long way to go. You know, I only really do it once or twice a week. when you're describing something that you're proud of. And that's totally valid. I don't want to criticize you because it's hard to take pride in things when we're feeling like we can't. And that's what the whole world is telling us. Like, it's, you're not good enough. So how should you take pride in this? But right. I want to encourage you and all listeners that like Heather, when you do one workout that is good for your body, when you do one day that is healthy for your body, you should have full permission to celebrate that with no disclaimers, with no, yeah, but it was kind of not the best. No, you did it. Give yourself permission to just like celebrate that and give yourself a pat on the back and, you know, be proud of it. And that's what I want to encourage listeners to do too. And that's kind of what we're talking about today is like, look back at 2020, anything that you did, like, there's going to be the voice in your head saying, well, it wasn't good enough. Well, I didn't do it enough. Well, I wasn't consistent enough. No, forget that. What did you do? Even a little right. thing, and give yourself permission. Again, I know I'm saying that phrase a lot, but give yourself permission to be happy about that and say, yes, I did it. Yay. And like, that is hard to do, get to that point to do, because we are so trained in like high performing. We're so trained in like, it, you know, better, you got to be good enough and do more and be more, especially unfortunately as women in our society. That is just a reality. So I just want to really encourage you all to like fight against that. When you, as this year comes to a close and you think about things to be proud of and you hear your voice saying like, well, no, not that, because you know, there's this reason, or no, not that, because I didn't do it good enough. Like, no, celebrate it. Raise some champagne to yourself, or do whatever it takes. Like, whatever act of celebration feels joyful to you, do that and lift yourself up. And like, I'll start, because the next thing that I have to say that I'm proud of is something that I could easily and am tempted to say, well, it wasn't good enough, which is have... Do you like that smooth segue? I'm a professional.
You are a professional.
I don't know if any listeners, some listeners probably have heard of NaNoWriMo, which stands for National Novel Writing Month, and it happens every November. And the goal is, it's this big nonprofit event community that encourages writers to write 50,000 words, which is the length of like a short novel, in 1 month. And it's a wonderful experience. Like, I always kind of try and do it every year, because I'm, you know, as a writer, I love the whole journey. And I love NaNoWriMo as an organization. They do wonderful work for like teen writers and schools and stuff like that. This year, I started it. Day one, I wrote 300 words. Day
way to go. You.
Days 2 through 30, I wrote 0 words. So, you know, it would be really easy for me. And like I said, it is tempting for me to be like, well, I failed. Well, that wasn't good enough. Well, it sucks. Like, I didn't do it. This thing I said I was going to do, I didn't do. But you know what? I did do it for one day. And on top of that, I have an idea that I'm really excited about. The 300 words I wrote were the start of a project. That's a story that when I am ready, I am going to come back to and write. And I'm really excited and proud of myself for starting something. Like, starting a writing project is scary and hard, and there's all kinds of voices in your head telling you like why that idea might be stupid, but I ignored those voices and I started it, and I am proud of myself, and I'm going to do my best to reject the voice that says like, well, because you didn't do everything you said you were going to do, therefore you can't be proud of the thing that you did do. That doesn't make sense. That's not fair. And I'm not going to allow it.
Yeah, I think that's so good to celebrate those small wins and celebrate the start, mm-hmm. right? What I'd like to point out here is that you're not saying that you shouldn't have goals that are bigger mm-hmm. or want to improve, or like not, you're not saying don't have goals or don't want more for yourself, but we're saying it's about the steps in the process. And sometimes you just step and process, mm-hmm. like you're taking the small steps one at a time, and that's just what it is. And yeah. That's okay.
I just thought of an example.
I could see your face.
Like, I know we're, you know, different listeners might be at different places on the political spectrum. Personally, I am very excited about Kamala Harris. Oh my gosh. Sorry. I mispronounced it. Harris. And it would be really easy for a lot of people to look and be like, she tried to run for president and she failed. Or is it friggin' awesome that she's the first black Indian American female vice president? That is incredible.
That's so many boxes. Yeah. Like,
so many boxes. Awesome. It's a lot more. But yeah, no, I mean, but she's an incredible person and that is an incredible accomplishment. No matter where you stand, have to acknowledge that's an amazing accomplishment. And I think every time, so now let's say this, every time you think to yourself, well, because I didn't actually achieve everything I set out to do, then the things I did accomplish are not valid. Think of Kamala Harris. And would you say that to her? No, just because she didn't win the Democratic bid for president doesn't mean the accomplishment she does have is less valid or less impressive. It doesn't. And so the same can be applied to you and to me, like with my NaNoWriMo example. Just because I didn't finish doesn't mean that the one day that I did is invalid. No, it is still great. I'm still excited about it.
And you still wrote more than you would have
if I hadn't tried it at all.
And got farther if you hadn't tried it all. And I hear that with goal settings at varying times, where people will say, well, I can't finish, or I can't do this, so I just won't start at all, or can't be perfect, so I won't start at all. It's like, no one that did anything awesome, like, got it right the first time. You don't come out this phenomenal poet or this phenomenal musician. Like, you have to go through all the painstaking baby steps of growth that anyone else has to go through. It's not going to be perfect. And you do have to, quote, fail many, many, many times. There has to be lots of tries before you get the real wins. And anyone else that has that overnight success, like, they're not. They're just not overnight successes. You're not magically someone perfectly talented, right?
Like that quote. Like,
Michael Jordan wasn't awesome because he just woke up awesome. Like, with his ass for it, right? Like,
exactly. And that's like that quote. It's like, the perfection is the enemy of the good. Like, start imperfectly. It is way better to start imperfect than to never start at all. There's no, we put this standard of perfection over ourselves and it prevents us from doing something that could just be awesome and could just be good. Even if it's just good, that is good. That is worth doing.
So my third thing to celebrate is, so I have three kids. My oldest is and should be in first grade, but it's the pandemic, 2020. Yay! No public education. Okay, that's not true. There is public education. It's online. Teachers and people in the school system are working so hard to try to make it possible for everyone, but it is, in all honesty, a hot mess for many families. Whether you both work full-time and you can't be there to manage that, or you've got multiple kids at home, or in my case, like, my kid's six, like, online school for a six-year-old, like, to me, the public school system at, like, six, seven, and eight is mostly, like, learning social skills, full stop. And so I'm just like, so how does online fit that? So we just defaulted to homeschool, which is basically consisted of no school. Like, I ordered some things online and then was like, did them once. And my son, he said to me the other day, he's like, oh no, I'm not in school. I'm not in school. Like, Mom, you're crazy. I'm not in school. I don't do school. And I'm like, yeah, shoot, dang, that's true in every sense, because I haven't really been doing anything. And so we just really started getting more structured with it this last week. I had an old whiteboard I pulled out of my garage, and I bought on Amazon, I bought like a sticker board, like, that has the, like, you brush your teeth on Monday and you get a star, and you do your homework and you get a star, and you take care of your pets and you get a star, right? And he's really taken to it. He's right at the age where that's perfect for him. And we just have a little chat in the morning, and we're like, okay, you have your math book, and when you're ready to do your math book, we're going to do two worksheets in your math book today. And you're going to read for 15 minutes. And I bought him this cool little timer that shows that, like, it's an analog clock of like time, but it shows this red marker. And so the red marker basically gets smaller as the time goes by. So he can see time moving in a way, because it's really hard for kids to, like, what's 5 minutes versus 10 minutes? It's all mm-hmm. the same to them. So he can see time moving. I'm like, you're going to read for 20 minutes. And he sets his little timer, and he just loved it. He was just like, yeah, he knows how long he's reading. He doesn't feel like he's reading forever, so he's not fighting me the whole time. When he's, like, wondering if we're done, he just looks at the little clock, and it took the fight out of it. And we're learning Spanish together. I've wanted my kids to learn a second language for a long time. My husband speaks pretty decent Spanish. I've wanted to learn how to speak Spanish for a really long time and have not.
That's so cool.
Just kind of took a Spanish class in high school. I think I passed. it showed a pass grade on my report card, I believe. And then I had to take one in college, but I kind of treated that as a joke too. It never felt like the right setup for me. So this year I've decided, okay, I'm going to do it alongside my kiddos. It's going to be a super slow pace, which is, if you know my personality, very difficult for me. I move fast pace. When I do things, I get shit done. We don't mess around. It's like big go big, go home. We're going. And I'm like, okay, how long ago was that when I was in college? Like a decade ago? What if I had just done a little bit of Spanish every week for a decade? Mm-hmm. I'd be fluent. Mm-hmm. A decade after. Like, how did I let that slip by? And I'm like, I don't want to be another decade out from now saying the same thing about this next decade that I'm facing.
And it's...
So...
Is it that... Are you saying, yeah, like, because that decade went by because you couldn't pour yourself into a language, you didn't try at all? So, but what you're saying would have been better to do a little bit, even just a little bit at a time, would have had much better rewards than not doing it at all.
Mm-hmm. Right. And even now, if I sit and look at now, even with that perspective, I sit and look at now and I look at a decade out, like, I can't see what a decade out looks like. I'm 35, so 45-year-old Heather, I'm like, I don't know where she's going to be, what she's going to be doing. I know she's going to have 3 kids and a husband, but like, where are we going to be? What are we going to be doing? I don't know. I don't have the answer to that. And it's hard to invest in 45-year-old me when I'm 35. But then I look backwards, hindsight's 2020, I look backwards and I'm like, oh, I had just taken really small steps and not been caught up in the perfectionism. Gotta be perfect, you know, or not. Like, what was that quote?
Perfection is the enemy of the good.
Yes! So, I'm going to take small steps with my kid. We're learning how to say, you know, good morning, good night. I'm going to learn a little faster than he is, but it's good to be doing that together. We're just going to take small steps, and we do have the larger goal of eventually, like, traveling to a country where Spanish is the dominant language, and getting more immersion practice to cement that. But that's going to be more successful if we're taking small steps
Absolutely.
Now. So that's what we're going to do. So small steps.
Yeah.
It's about the journey. The destination is the goal, but like, we just can't focus on that. We got to focus on our small steps. And that's what we're trying to do right here in 2020 is like, so much was thrown at us. So let's just focus on the small steps that were taken. And that small step includes processing, like, group worldwide trauma.
Yeah.
Right? And just celebrating those small wins opposed to feeling bogged down or, like, I didn't do enough or that maybe.
And, you know, as we wrap up, I want to point out the common thread I've noticed in this conversation, which is that the voice in our heads that tells us to do more and be perfect actually isn't helping us. And a lot of times we make excuses for that voice because we say like, well, it's driving me to do better. But I think we all need to step back and ask ourselves, is it really? Because if you are a person who you hear that voice and you actually do work harder, do more, exceed your expectations, great. That means that that is a healthy voice that is encouraging you to do healthy things and it's pushing you.
Well, I guess if you're doing those things,
that's right. Yes. Okay. Good. Right? Good correction.
Do you sacrifice your health and your family?
Well, I think of like really high performers who are like they really goal oriented people have that voice that's pushing them, and they might say like, "Well, that's actually good for me." And if it really is good for you, great. However,
and in check.
And in check. However, if that voice is just making you feel crappy about yourself, then is it really serving you? No, it's not. And you don't have to listen to it just because of there's some, you know, misguided lie or misinformation about, like, well, that voice is what's making me a better person, and it's making me strive to do better. Is it really? And I think that we all need to step back and look and see if it is. If that voice has actually helped you accomplish stuff you're proud of and made you feel good about it, then good. Okay, then that might be a healthy voice. But if it's just making you feel crappy about the accomplishments you do have, and is it then not actually equipping you to do more, if it's the voice that's making you say, well, I'd rather do nothing than not be perfect, then that voice is not a good voice. It is not healthy, and it's not serving you.
Right.
And that's what I think we can all work to try and, like, to say no to that voice, you know? And that's why celebrating these small wins is, I think, so important and so good for building a voice that's actually going to serve you in becoming the person you want to be.
Right. So 2020, y'all, like Heather said, allow yourself to celebrate these good things. This too shall pass. We're not saying the pandemic's going to magically go away when we hit the calendar 2021, mm-hmm. but the season of life and trauma will pass in its own time as well.
As women who are unapologetic, who are going to be too much, take up space today with celebrating your wins. Because no matter how big or small they are yours. And you have every right to take joy in them. And I really hope that you do. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening today. Be sure to leave a review, share the podcast with your friends, find us on social media. Yeah, Twitter. I'm Heather, at Heather R. Walters on Twitter and Instagram. Heather, you're at Heather Rao, right?
At Heather Rao. Yep. Pretty straightforward.
Yeah. On Twitter. So we'll see you guys there. We'd love to hear from you. Happy end of the year. Let's keep going together.
Has anyone ever told you you're kind of a lot?
What are you doing?
Can you not?
Take a minute, okay?
Just chill.
Relax.
Calm down.
You're so loud.
Harsh. It's too weird.
Too messy.
Too wild.
Too girly.
Too much.
Too much.
Too much.